97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, a lot of times you click on things on the internet. It's called clickbait because the headline's going to make you want to read the story. This one certainly did. And I think it's more than clickbait because this is rather stunning reporting from a team at Reuters. The headline, "We bought everything needed to make $3 million worth of fentanyl. All it took was $3,600 in a web browser." And Laura Gottesdiener is with us. She's one of the reporters that worked on this particular project. It certainly caught my attention last week. Laura, how are you? I understand you're in Mexico City as well. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm based up in Monterrey, Mexico, about 2 hours south of the Texas border. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I thought this was pretty incredible reporting, and I want to explain, I want you to explain to the audience what happened here and how easy this was, because I think people are going to be stunned.
Sure. We spent about a year, contacting, Chinese chemical suppliers and really trying to dig into every aspect of this supply chain. And the thing that really surprised us after doing all of this reporting, which, we're still working on future stories, is that it's really quite cheap and relatively easy to get your hands on these precursor chemicals. Precursor chemicals obviously being the types of chemicals that, can be used in the illicit manufacture of fentanyl.
So you guys, when you get started, the way that the story describes it is that the reporter or a reporter had ordered the chemical 6 weeks earlier from a seller. The sales assistant, quote unquote, Jenny, used a photo of a Chinese actress as her screen avatar. The price was $440, payable in Bitcoin, interestingly enough, delivery by air freight included. And Jenny says, "We can ship safely to Mexico. No one knows what we ship." So how did that all go down then from there?
Sure. So we reached out, to dozens of different Chinese chemical sellers to, see what they were selling, how much it cost, how they shipped, and we found not just Jenny, but many of them told us, that they could ship safely either to the United States, directly into the United States, or to Mexico. And to find out whether, that was really true, we actually did. We bought more than a dozen chemicals. A few turned out to be fake, but we ended up with a dozen chemicals that could be used to make fentanyl. Most of the transactions were in Bitcoin. As you know, that's cryptocurrency. And really, these were obviously, transactions that on the one hand were very, very strange. You're chatting in the middle of the night, at least in North America time, with people who, you don't really know who they are or who they work for, or what the company is behind them. But on the other hand, it was also very, very straightforward. They're salespeople. They're selling chemicals. They want to know what chemical. Every chemical has a registered number. So you tell them what number. They tell you how much it costs and how to ship it. And, it's a little bit, it's not like buying anything else. But at the end of the day, it arrived just in the same way that many of your Amazon packages could arrive.
Right. But Laura, one thing that's interesting here, and this is what makes it so tough to get a handle on this, is you guys report in the piece, is that a lot of these chemicals, these precursors that you're referring to, they're used by legitimate industries, right? Different products, et cetera.
Yeah, this is what makes it very, very difficult for governments and regulators. The same chemicals that that people use to synthesize illicit fentanyl are used in the types of products that touch your everyday lives. So we're talking about plastics, we're talking about rubber, we're talking about the dye that makes your blue jeans blue. So think about the idea of trying to regulate all of the chemicals, or so many chemicals that are important for legal industries, not just in the United States, but many, many companies in the United States need these chemicals, but all over the world.
So I want you to kind of describe, because this is where it gets very interesting geopolitically. One of the lines from the story is this: the fentanyl business is largely a three-nation trading system, with the United States, Mexico, and China linked in a toxic triangle as the illicit drug's biggest consumer, manufacturer, and raw materials supplier. Go into a little bit more detail about that triangle, because that's rather fascinating, isn't it?
Sure. Thanks for picking up on that. So, to start with the biggest consumer, obviously the United States is the largest consumer of illicit fentanyl in the world. And many governments around the world that are taking steps to regulate these products are also saying, hey, United States, you've got to take steps to rein in the demand. Obviously, the government is doing a lot of work on that front, investing more money than ever. But regardless, the United States is the largest consumer and has the most demand of illicit fentanyl. Next comes Mexico. According to U.S. officials, Mexico is the largest illicit manufacturer of fentanyl. And obviously from there, you know, smuggled usually through ports of entry by U.S. citizens into the United States. And then you get to China, which is, you know, it has the largest chemical industry in the world. The vast, vast, overwhelming majority of those products are used legally for illicit uses, again, for the types of products that allow you and I to live our everyday lives. But, you know, our reporting shows and, you know, officials tell us that it is also the largest supplier of these fentanyl precursor chemicals.
So is there a takeaway that you have at this point in the reporting? Because we've had issues here in Missouri, just like any other states, where this is maybe one of those undercover tragedies where you have this being the top killer of young people ages 18 to 45, right? But cracking down on illegal fentanyl supply chains, that's not easy. You've kind of just proved that. Is there a way to do it effectively?
Yeah, I want to say, you know, on this point, I'm grateful to be on the reporting side and not on the policy side.
Right.
What we really wanted, and I don't mean to duck the question, but what I want, we really wanted to show with this article is that despite an incredible amount of activity by law enforcement, not just in the United States, but at the international level and all around the world, the pipeline for these fentanyl precursor chemicals is still quite open. These precursor chemicals are still cheap and easy to obtain. So, you know, from here, we really wanted readers, and we know it's a long story, but we wanted readers to think after they read the end of the full story, you know, what is the best way for us to save lives in the United States? Because we are losing, as you know, tens of thousands of people a year to fentanyl overdoses. And everyone agrees that one death is too many, and approximately 75,000 overdose deaths from synthetic drugs, synthetic opioids, that's far too many.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It really is. And again, you know, I feel like it's something we talk about in passing. We have these terrible numbers that are up there, and then you have families living these, you know, horrible tragedies in the background, feeling kind of, you know, hopeless, I think. And, you know, here's one question for you. Have you had, outside of, you know, talk show hosts in St. Louis and media people, Laura, has this reporting drawn the interest of any members of Congress, et cetera?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of feedback from the story of, you know, I can't name specific people, but we're quite aware that, you know, from Washington to law enforcement agencies all around the country to, you know, agencies in different countries as well, people are taking notice of the story. But, you know, I want to say this is, you know, we wanted to really show, you know, firsthand how this works. We're the first news organization to buy these chemicals, to test these chemicals, to show step-by-step how this pipeline works. But I will say, you know, law enforcement in the United States, they know this is a problem, and they're working on it. And we really wanted to show this for everyday readers. You know, why is there a supply that seems so difficult to get a handle on for the chemicals that fuel this very deadly drug?
And then I guess the final question, you're down in Mexico City, right? But what's the reaction from the Mexican government on some of this reporting, or what did you find out for them? Because the cartels are heavily involved in this as well, aren't they?
You know, our reporting, not just on this story, but, you know, we've done a lot in our bureau. We've done a lot of reporting on the Mexican cartels. You know, they are obviously heavily involved in illicit fentanyl manufacture, according to U.S. authorities. For them, you know, it's a lucrative industry. And I think, you know, the title of the headline, you know, that you read out explains why. I mean, we spent $3,600 and had an internet connection, and we got enough precursor chemicals to make $3 million worth of fentanyl, obviously. And I want to make it very clear from readers, we did not make fentanyl. We did not take any steps to making fentanyl. But certainly, you know, anyone can kind of do the back of the envelope math on that and understand why those who are engaged in this illicit industry, you know, are reaping very good profits right now.
Well, Laura, I'm always looking for interesting and thorough reporting, and you certainly provided that with this story. I found it intriguing, horrifying, and maybe we can get some, you know, some answers in the future and some more motivation to fix some of this. But thanks for coming on in St. Louis here tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's Laura Gottsteiner, who is with Reuters. That is a crazy, crazy story, I'll tell you what. And I will say, you know, again, giving a little credit where credit is due, some actual reporting from journalists,
yes,
which is a little rare these days.
Get more at 971talk.com.